Warning, this podcast has stories of real-life events and true crime that happens every day. These stories may contain adult language and graphic or disturbing details not suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is advised. In our society, most people are content to go through their daily lives safely and peacefully. But our society is not always safe or peaceful. For that reason, some men and women answer a higher calling to defend and protect their fellow man. You probably know someone who is one of these people, or maybe you are one of these people. The ones who see and do the things most people would never want to. These things are sometimes heroic and beautiful, but often they are horrific and terrifying. It's these things they don't share about with other people. It's these things they carry with them, so you don't have to. But when they get together, they talk to each other about them. And they call these stories war stories. Welcome to another episode of War Stories. I'm Tom.
And I'm John.
And man, it's just the two of us today.
Just the two of us. I should have been a singer.
You should have. You got the looks for it.
No.
Not the voice
for it. No. Not the voice. Hey, funny story. I sang, Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire in front of a whole auditorium of people on a cruise ship and got a standing ovation.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if it's because I was fucked up and they were just, you know, it was just fun for them.
That's why. Yeah. Because you had the balls to get up on a cruise ship and sing Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire. Either that or maybe you were really doing a good Man in Black impression. Hello, I'm Johnny.
Yeah, Cash. Maybe.
Today, so we have some emails to answer.
Yeah.
We were going to have guests and stuff like that, but we also keep getting kind of the same question over and over. So we'll get to that, but it's just going to be John and I for a two-parter. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to warn everybody right now, I'm going to get hot. I may say some things like
I'm gonna get hot within reason.
Neither one of us speak for any other organization whatsoever. We're not speaking on behalf of anybody, and there may be times where I will jump in and say something that John is unwilling or unable to say, which is fine.
Definitely not unwilling.
Yeah,
for sure unable.
He's willy, just not able. It's going to be bananas, but let's do a little housekeeping first. The patches are dope.
Patches are dope.
ISGC Patch Club.
Yeah.
Came in tight with that.
Yeah. We just posted last night and
yeah.
I've got a million DMs asking for them already. Yeah.
So as of listening to this podcast, go to www.warstoriesofficial.com and you can buy them on our website.
Mm-hmm.
We'll ship them out. We've got, we got quite a few of them. So
yeah.
Hopefully they won't.
Should be able to cover everybody.
Too fast.
Yeah.
Should cover everybody. But if they go fast, we'll order more. So that's not a big deal. Hats. I got a picture of the hat, the proof, like, hey, how do you like it? And I said, it looks great, except the logo's in the wrong spot.
No.
So not approved. They'll have to fix that. T-shirts are available on the website, all that. The locker room's going strong. People seem to be liking that. We just did, you know, with the two parts on explaining QAnon. We're going to be doing a third follow-up. But I sat down with Marco and Matt and I explained, because I've mentioned Bohemian Grove so many times.
Mm.
And we posted the episode and somebody who has been on this podcast is a friend of yours, texted me like right after I posted the image of, you know, the episode, which is what the hell is Bohemian Grove. And he typed me a message like within an hour of finishing the episode saying, dude, one Google search has never pissed me off so bad in my entire life.
Dude, serious. Yeah. I wish I was there for that one.
Yeah. So we're going to have John there for the QAnon part three, but also Matt had an idea. He has a topic because we revolve the topics. Everybody gets a different topic they can bring to the table, bring to the locker room. We take your listener suggestions. Matt wants to do how much grooming is acceptable for men. Like, are we talking like you have to cut your own nails with a knife, or are we talking pedicures are acceptable? And
pedicures are acceptable.
So we need John on that episode because And then the other thing Marco wants to discuss, we posted a screenshot that says, I think it's clear, or it's a meme that says, the timeout generation produced terrible people and the ass whooping generation produced good people. So we're going to have a to spank or not to spank topic. And you as a new father who also happens to be in a different generation than I am. So I want to have you there too, as well, because we have, we'll have a, an interesting discussion.
I'm like a new generation, but with the old generation ideologies.
But see, that's what I want. Like, that's what we want to talk about, is that you can be, there's no rule that says you can't be in a younger generation and be old school.
True.
Which goes back towards a question we answered for Ricardo on the locker room, where he was talking about being around all these old timers. And, you know, you want to be like an old timer, dude, just do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Just be what they are. Just take your mentors where you find them. You know, not everybody is blessed with a good father. So find your own father figure.
Right.
You know, so, but that's not why we're here.
No.
That was just a little housekeeping. We have some emails, and when we finally get to the email that is going to launch our topic, you'll understand why this is going to have to be a two-part episode. John and I discussed it. We were going to have Elliot here. Unfortunately, he is stuck on a boat.
Yeah, too bad, man, right? Too bad.
So, yeah, see, if you're going to be stuck someplace, I guess a boat's
right?
A bad place to be stuck. Anyway, on...
Oh, you know what? I think it's because the Trump... they have like
the regatta.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going through where they're at. That's probably why.
You gotta put the giant Trump flag on your boat.
We should be doing this episode there, but then again, it would be too loud and we wouldn't be able to.
Hey, you know what? If people, the microphones will have a little bit of background noise, a little bit of boats.
Everyone's okay with it.
Let's everybody start. Fine. okay. So we have this question. Let's see here. That's just somebody's address. Sorry, I'm scrolling through these emails as we get there. It is basically, the idea is, and I apologize for not having it right up on the phone. Danny Gomez. Danny says, just a short note to let you know that I've listened to every episode and I applaud your efforts. I was in the Army in 97 and I unfortunately blew out my knee and that was the end of that. However, my son is currently serving in the Army in Fort Hood. By the way, what's going on at Fort Hood, dude?
I have no idea.
There's like,
I don't know.
Soldiers going missing and murders and shit. There's like a Fort Hood serial killer.
Yeah, you know, just to briefly, briefly.
I'll finish the email and then we.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
And my daughter is serving in the Army Reserves as a combat medic. My brother, Specialist J.W. Johnson, was killed in Niger in 2017. Very bad day for me and my family. My father served in Vietnam, so I have a military family. In 2017, I started Fish the Moment with our veterans here in Central Virginia, and I take vets out fishing and let them escape from reality for 8 hours. Some talk, some don't, which is fine, but they know I'm a sounding board and can enjoy a day on the water, and it doesn't cost anything for them. I supply everything except the fishing license. I'm very proud of what you all are doing and love everything you talk about. I'm sending you a picture of how I wrapped my boat, and it's a tribute to all veterans. Thank you for everything you do. And he really did. He took his fishing boat and he just put this big support our troops decal like on the hull of the boat.
We'll post it. We'll post a picture.
Yeah. So Danny, I mean, Dixie wrecked fishing and now moment, Fish the Moment. Like we've said that, find what your fishing is. And for a lot of people, fishing is their fishing.
Yeah.
So all these groups that take, veterans out on their boats and have just a nice peaceful day on the water. You guys are doing great work. And if you're in the Virginia area, Central Virginia, and you want to go fishing with them, contact us. We'll put you in touch with them. It's Danny Gomez with Fish the Moment in Virginia. Or if you just want to support him and maybe throw him a couple bucks to help pay for bait and gas and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You were saying about Fort Hood?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. I can't specifically speak for Fort Hood, but I know when I was in the military, I mean, as much as people may deny it or not want to believe it, gangs are prevalent in the military and in base life.
Yeah.
I have witnessed that firsthand. So, you know, anyone else could do their own research on, on gangs in the military, but it's a real thing.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if that's the reason why people are getting murdered and why people are missing, but it's just an option. I don't know.
It's, well, it's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there was gangs that infiltrated the LAPD.
Yes.
Famously.
Yeah.
And there were people that were working for Death Row Records and Suge Knight and doing scandalous, shady stuff.
Yeah.
On their off duty time.
Yeah. And just, on duty time.
And on their on duty time.
Yeah.
Just Google David Mack. That's all.
Yeah.
If you want to. He was friends with Rafael Perez. And if that name doesn't ring a bell,
yeah, go figure.
Just think Rampart.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Mike sent us an email. Good morning. I recently discovered your podcast and I've been listening to them in order for about a week now while I'm at work. I'm an Army vet and currently work as a fugitive recovery agent. For those of you who don't know what that is, think bounty hunter. But
cooler.
You can't have a bounty anymore. So that's a fugitive recovery agent.
Right.
I have found it difficult to discuss anything related to either profession with people who are not in the business. Well, that's about right. I have enjoyed listening to you guys and your stories, and many of them ring home to me. And many of your stories have helped me on an emotional level and to understand that some of the nightmares or emotions that I have are not uncommon amongst veterans and law enforcement members. So just want to say thank you and keep up the good work. Stay safe, Mike. Thanks, Mike. I mean, that's kind of why we do this.
Yeah.
So, and we all know that that's the case. We just, I guess, found an outlet for it, and everybody seems to enjoy it. The next one is this kind of spawned what today's episode is going to be about. We got an email that initially was saying, oh, I don't know if you have enough to do a whole episode on it. But with everything that's happened since, yeah, we probably have a whole episode on
or two.
It says, I don't know if there's enough substance for a podcast on the Jacob Blake shooting yet, but I'd like to hear your insight on the incident. Hearing you guys speak has really changed my outlook on police officers for the better. I think you guys brought up how officers are sometimes justified to shoot someone in the back while talking about the Rayshard Brooks incident. So I was wondering if you guys think this shooting was also justified, and if so, why? Keep up the podcast. I'll give you right now. Yeah, it was justified to me.
Yeah, and before we go into it, remember, we're looking at this not from us being an investigator or a police officer on scene there. We're looking at it with all the facts that have been given to us thus far and the research that we've done. So we're not making a judgment on anyone's actions because we feel like we were there and we knew better. We're going based off facts.
Right.
And I could easily say based off the facts, not emotional decision, but facts, I would say that was a justified shooting.
Yeah. Absent any other information, just based on what we know now, absolutely.
Right.
I would have shot that dude.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take it from the beginning then.
Yeah. So, I wanted to, Matt, send us an email. This is a real quick answer before we get into the Jacob Blake. I stumbled onto your podcast by accident and I was hooked. I binged all episodes in a week. That's
wow.
Impressive.
Right.
Well, he's a FedEx driver, so he's in his car all day.
That makes sense.
And he says, I worked delivering for FedEx, and I would be looking like a crazy person laughing my ass off with my earbuds in while delivering. Your show has made me seriously consider enlisting in the Army. However, even though I always considered it in the past, I feel like I'm too old now. I'm 34. I'm afraid that ship has sailed. I don't know how you guys feel about enlisting later on in life. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Do it. If they'll take you, do it. If that's something you've always wanted to do, you can always go Army Reserve. You get the same, you know, boot camp, basic training, all that kind of stuff. And then at 34, if you've got a wife and kids, you don't have the, you know, ship out for 3 years or 4 years and mm-hmm. be gone. You'd gone, what, 1 weekend a month and 2 weeks a year or something mm-hmm. like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
So if you want to do it, do it. I don't think if you can pass the fitness test, that's really the only thing stopping you. I don't know if there's an age limit.
Yeah, there's an age limit, but it's I'm pretty sure it's late 30s or 40s, late 40s.
I know I spoke to somebody at the CIA who had discussed me applying with them, it was 35 for a federal agency, but that's not the military,
no,
so I don't know.
I think it's late 40s, I'm pretty sure.
So, you know, check it out. Give it a there's no reason why you couldn't.
Right.
So, but we appreciate all the emails. Go ahead and send us more messages and we'll get to them. Now on to a very, this is why I'm going to get fired up, because we're not only going to cover Jacob Blake, we're going to start covering the aftermath, which would be Kyle Rittenhouse.
Mm.
and some of the other people that were involved in that. So where do we start with Mr. Jacob Blake? This is the Kenosha shooting where police shot a suspect in the back multiple times, and he is now paralyzed. Everybody thought, oh, how can you shoot a guy in the back? Well, you just aim at his back. I mean,
right?
Let's be honest. That's right. How you do it. Should you do it? Well, let's take a couple scenarios. The statement, you never shoot somebody in the back. Well, that's some weird old West, like Wild West mythology of
like, men
don't shoot men in the back.
Yeah.
Really? If you're trying to murder a child, I'm going to shoot you wherever I can.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the bottom line. Now, this guy wasn't trying to murder a child. However, let's discuss what he was doing. Why were the police officers trying to arrest this man in the first place?
Right.
Sexual assault. Right?
And that's what he had a warrant for, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and I've seen this all over social media, and I agree with it. It is sickening to me to see sports players, specifically NFL athletes, with this dude's name on their helmet.
Yeah, sports are dead to me.
Yeah.
Sports are dead.
Yeah. Even my beloved hockey started to, you know, have some nonsense going on, and I'm like, dude, y'all better figure it out before next season,
because
this is stupid. They wanted to paint the blue lines on the ice black.
Okay, so real quick. Yeah. All right, so he's got a warrant for his arrest. There was a police call for service made by, is it ex? Was it ex-girlfriend or girlfriend at the time?
I believe it was ex, I believe. And which also goes to show, don't piss off, like, your ex-girlfriend's going to dime you off and report you to the cops.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the story, so just
be a nice guy.
Know that.
Be a nice guy. So cops show up, and again, you know, we don't have, I'm pretty sure that department doesn't have body cams.
There isn't, as far as I know, there's
no body cam footage. I don't think they have body cams. But regardless, what we do know is that there was a physical altercation with multiple police officers.
Right.
And Jacob Blake.
So now I'm going to start there because you really have to take the totality into account, especially correct, because I was, part of my job was to teach hands-on, and I love going hands-on. Mm-hmm. I would not draw my gun, because if I drew my gun, I couldn't go hands-on. I was always the mugger. I loved it. You know, you cover with lethal, and I'll be the mugger. Mm-hmm. Right. So there are instances when altercations start that you have to consider in any altercation. This is not just as a police officer, this is any altercation. First of all, you have to size up your opponent, right? You have to recognize what they're capable of. And more importantly, I have hit people first, right? I've taken people down first. They didn't have to swing, because I was able to articulate, this dude, his jaw was set and clenched. His eyes were laser focused on me. His hands were balled up and white knuckled in fists, and he'd taken a fighting stance. That tells you everything you need to know, mm-hmm, right? That's number one. Number two, you said multiple police officers trying to arrest this guy. What kind of an asshole and what kind of a mindset do you have to have when multiple police officers contact you and want to arrest you that you're going to fight? That's not a normal response.
Right.
I would say 90%, I think that's a conservative estimate, 90% of people, if contacted by the police, are going to comply.
I would even say that's higher.
That's what I mean. I think 90% is conservative. Like most people, if the police say, get down on the ground and put your hands behind your head.
Most people do. Yeah.
So when three police officers or four police officers, whatever it was, come to contact you and they say, get out of the car, get down on the ground, put your hands up, da, 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 all, they start giving you commands, most people are going to comply. Do it
right.
And comply.
Right.
If you don't, that tells the cops another thing about your mindset, which is, even with four police officers here, this guy's not going to go with the program.
Right.
Yeah. So you can't not consider that information. So correct, let's start there.
Right.
If you bring four cops to arrest somebody, John, and he takes a fighting stance or starts, you know, trying to take you on, I would say that's an irrational response.
Irrational response, and he's going to, I mean, his force will be met with force,
right?
If not a greater force.
Right. Now, in California, the law says that force which is reasonable and necessary to effect an arrest.
Correct. And we're not saying at this point he deserved to die, because at this point, no one shot him.
Yeah, he's not
they
shot.
They fought.
Right.
That was it. Right. Hands.
So they go hands on. At this point, that's reasonable and necessary.
Right.
You have to arrest this guy for sexual assault. Now, I don't know the level of sexual assault. Do you?
Right. No.
I don't know.
No.
I don't. But sexual assault could be up to and including rape.
Right.
Right? They don't detail it when they say it. They just say sexual assault. So let's just say he, you know, made a woman a victim of a sex crime. Where's our feminism? Where's our support of women? Where's our Me Too?
Mm-hmm.
Where's our, hey, thank you, cops. This guy sexually assaulted women, and we appreciate you going out there to arrest his fucking ass.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that? Crickets.
Crickets. And not only, you know, just slightly going back to the physical altercation, which is done in front of his kids.
Right.
That are sitting in the car where this fight is taking place.
Right.
What a solid father figure.
Yes. Well, that's why I posted that it says Black Lives Matter, and I crossed out black and put Father's Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Because if you want to fix cultural problems,
mm-hmm.
societal problems,
mm-hmm.
let's get fathers back involved.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about one culture or community.
No,
I'm talking
all
about
cultures.
All cultures, yes. All community.
Agree.
And when we get into it in part two, because we're going to get into some of these organizations and why the violent response against them is appropriate
right.
as well.
Right.
We're going to talk about Kyle Rittenhouse. We're going to talk about Antifa. We're going to talk about Black Lives Matter, the organization, not the statement, because there is a fucking difference.
Mm-hmm.
They will tell you they want to dismantle the family. They want to dismantle the police. They want to dismantle your way of life.
I still remember to this day when I worked in the South End for my previous agency, when Black Lives Matter was just coming to light,
mm-hmm.
I still remember this day them walking up Crenshaw Boulevard with a huge banner that said "Murder Cops."
Yep.
Really?
Which
really?
There are black cops.
Right.
So does your profession trump your race?
This is years ago. This was happening.
I didn't mean to say Trump like that, but does your right?
Yeah.
So here's one for you. If you're a Black Lives Matter activist. And you see a black cop, right? That's like a free ham to a Jewish person. It's free, but it's also ham, and you can't eat it. So they're a cop. You're supposed to murder them, but they're black, and Black Lives Matter.
Whatever.
You're gonna.
The whole thing can be dismantled in a matter of seconds.
Right.
The whole ideology, but
right.
whatever. That's right. not what we're talking about right now.
So anyway, this guy decides to fight.
Right.
The fight is on in front of his damn kids, as you pointed
and
out.
And I believe he was tased as well.
I believe he was. And let me tell you right now, I'll be the first one to tell you cops hand out tasings like candy, and mm-hmm. they shouldn't. It's go hands on.
That taser should be a go to when the hands on is not working.
Right.
Period.
Or when you identify somebody who you can't go hands on with.
Oh, yeah. True.
If I'm a 5'9", you know, skinny kid in a uniform who's expected to arrest a frickin' Sasquatch.
Yeah, 6'9" giant.
6'9", you know, frickin'. If I'm gonna have to arrest the Big Show and he wants to fight
yeah.
me,
we're not fighting.
Chuck Liddell lived in our county.
Mm.
And he was very, very, very supportive of law enforcement. Super cool dude. He worked with one of our local SWAT teams to do, you know, hands-on
oh, nice.
Training.
Yeah.
My buddy took a punch from him.
Oh, fuck that.
Half speed, with gloves, and helm headgear.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Said it was like getting kicked in the head by a mule, and Chuck only hit him at half speed. So I always said, if I go to arrest Chuck Liddell, and he doesn't want to be arrested, then the conversation with Chuck Liddell is going to go like this. I'm going to have my stick in one hand, and I'm going to have my gun in the other. And I'm going to say, Chuck, I can put one of these away and hand you the handcuffs, and you can put them on and comply. Or, if you don't want to be arrested, I'm either going to beat you until parts of your body break off, or I'm just going to shoot you. Your choice. Right? Because there's a point at which you're like, no, I can't fight this dude.
No.
I can't fight this dude.
Nope. I think we've all been there, too.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Every cop worth a salt has come up against somebody and gone, oh, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. And if you haven't, you're fucking full of shit. Or you just haven't been on the job long enough.
Yeah. It long enough on this job, you will get up against somebody and you're like,
oh, man.
Can you just send me everybody right now? Yeah,
please.
I have talked people into handcuffs and said, look, dude, you're too big.
Yeah, of course.
You can put them on or we can fight. But if we fight, I'm probably going to have to shoot you.
Yeah. I've said the same thing.
No, it's cool.
Yeah, I've said the same thing.
Right.
I've actually had a suspect tell me the only reason he gave up is because he saw it in my eyes that I was going to shoot him.
Right.
And he was right. I was. Oh, yeah. Because I knew I was going to lose that fight.
I know. I've seen me do it.
So anyways, okay, all right.
So this guy gets shot going into his car or walking away from the cops, trying to get into his car.
Right. So the physical altercation takes place on the passenger side of the vehicle.
Right. On the sidewalk.
On the sidewalk.
Right.
At some point, they disengage from him, and I don't know, and I'm only gonna say this is a possibility, but when he walks around the car, he has a knife in his hand.
Yeah, specifically, it looks like a karambit, and right. If you don't think that we can identify the knife type, you've never seen a fucking karambit.
Right.
It looks like the talon of a bird of prey. It's hooked, and it's literally
made for gutting.
To gut someone.
That's it. So my only thing on that is that maybe they disengaged because he ended up arming himself with the knife, and they had to create distance. It made sense to me. I'm not saying that's exactly what happened because I don't know. I wasn't there. But right. Based off of what I saw in the video, that's what it looked like to me.
Right. And there's a couple of different ways. When you are engaged in a physical fight with somebody and they pull a knife, you've really got two options. Create space so you don't get cut and go to a higher level of force, which with a knife, the higher level of force is a gun. Or you pin him to the ground, risk getting sliced to shit, and try and subdue them with the knife in their hand. Pin the knife to their body, stick it up their own ass, shoot
whatever,
them,
yeah.
Contact shot, whatever it is.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You have two choices. Create space or try and close the distance, close the gap, and control that knife. But either – there's pluses
it's
and minuses
shitty, it's
both.
A shitty situation.
It's just a shitty situation to be in. And by the way, for our young cops who or potential cops or soldiers or anybody like that, I'm going to give you some knife fighting advice. You're going to get cut. Make peace with it.
Yeah. I'd much rather be in a gunfight than a knife fight.
Oh, hell yeah.
100%. Hell yeah.
Everybody goes, well, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Don't bring a gun to a knife fight.
Mm-hmm. If you want to be up close.
Yeah. Like, the guns have their disadvantages up close like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So again, if you're going to get into a knife fight, just make peace with the fact that you're going to get cut. But decide, I'm going to get cut one or two times max. And by the time I get those one or two cuts in, I'm going to take
dead.
This knife
yep.
away from him and stick it in his neck.
Yep.
Right. Or take your own knife out and stick it in his neck. You just got to be able to go further faster.
Right.
Anyway, so this guy turns away. We don't know why they disengage physically, possibly the knife. But you see it.
Yeah.
He's got a knife.
Yeah, he's got it right in his waistband. He's holding it right by his belly button.
Yep. And
he walks around the car. He opens the car door. And supposedly, per the statement of, I believe it was the officer that shot him, and you know what? Who knows? It might have been multiple officers. I haven't read up on this yet. But
yeah, and we don't get to see their statements.
Right.
We only get the official.
Right. For sure, at least one officer heard him say he was going to get a gun.
Yep.
Okay. So
you tell me you're getting a gun. I'll believe you.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so here's the thing. You've already displayed violence, not on one person, but you're a sexual offender at this point, potentially.
Yeah.
You're willing to display violence and commit violence on multiple police officers in front of your children. You've now armed yourself with a knife.
None of these are reasonable responses.
None of them. And now you have introduced the possibility of putting a gun into this situation. Now, I believe that anybody reasonable with a reasonable brain in this position, whether you're in law enforcement or you're a janitor, I think it's very easy to surmise that the gun is going to be used on them. Why else would you tell police you're going to get a gun?
Right. That's like suicide by cop time.
Absolutely.
Right. So I looked it up just now while we were talking. The warrant was for felony sexual assault. He's accused of breaking into a home of a woman he knew and sexually assaulting her.
Wow.
So
violent dude.
Right.
A violent guy.
And, quote, she told, I won't get into the nitty-gritty details, but during the sexual assault, at one point he smelled his finger and said, "It smells like you've been with other men." Good dude.
Yeah, solid guy.
Good dude. I said I'm fired up and I'm going to say things that will disqualify me from ever running for office. The first thing is, they shot him. Yeah, well, he's been paralyzed, so now he can't sexually assault anyone.
Mm.
So I guess problem solved.
Win-win.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. So real quick, we'll get back to the statement that he made.
Right.
Right. Because this is about to get, this is about to finish here in about a second. So he makes the comment about getting the gun. He walks around the front of the car. He opens the car door. And on the video, reaches down underneath the seat.
Yep.
What could he possibly be grabbing?
Well, here's the thing. My understanding is the knife was found in the car.
It was. It was on the floorboard.
On the floorboard. So it's entirely possible that he was exchanging the knife for a gun.
Absolutely.
I don't know if they found a gun.
They did not.
Okay. It's possible that he was exchanging the knife for a gun, but we know they didn't have a gun.
Correct.
It's also possible he was trying to ditch the knife.
Sure.
Because he knew he was going to get fucked up if he had it in his hand.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Right.
Bottom line is, he said he had a gun.
Wait, let's remind everyone. With children in the car.
With children in the car. Said he had a gun and went into the car. First of all, now you're going to add felony child endangerment to those list of charges.
Mm.
Because during the arrest for the sexual assault, he puts his children in a position that no father should ever put any child in, period. Mm-hmm. End of story. And he should be charged for that as well. So now he gets shot. He goes to hospital. He survives. He's paralyzed.
And so for everyone with us so far that goes that, you know, that not necessarily not agreeing with us, but agreeing with us, you know, kind of on the fence, you know, I'm even going to side a little bit on the other part where, cause he was shot 7 times in the back. All right. And something that I noticed, that I believe it was the last 2 shots he fired. I have to rewatch the video. For sure one, but maybe it was the last 2 shots he fired. He was actually the police officer was looking up. Like he wasn't even looking at the suspect anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I would even be willing to side of, and again, very stressful situation, a lot going on, and I'm never, ever going to second guess another officer's decision. But if anything looks bad in that video, it would have been that part, that really brief part of him maybe looking up while firing 2 more rounds.
But you have no idea what his...
Correct. You don't know what he was looking at.
Right.
You don't know what he was looking at.
No, I have no idea.
Again, I'm just trying to play, I'm just trying to play into both sides a little bit here.
And for all these people to say, whoa, he sexually assaulted a woman. He doesn't deserve to be shot in the back and paralyzed. Really? He doesn't?
Well, based off of everything we just spoke about.
I'm pretty sure the decision to get shot in the back and paralyzed was his.
It was absolutely his. At that point, he had made his decisions dictated how that entire scenario played out.
Right. I'll give you some examples. And I am, as Dave Chappelle says, I am what's known as a victim blamer. my daughter, right? My wife and I have told my daughter her entire life that when it comes to, you know, the way she behaves at parties and stuff like that, I tell her, if it's not for sale, don't put it in the window, right? And it's not that a woman who dresses provocatively doesn't have a right to do it and she should, you know, she shouldn't have to watch how she dresses or she asked for it. No, none of that. My point is that if you walk down the ghetto ass street with money hanging out of your pockets at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're partially responsible for getting mugged. And if
you're asking for it,
if you have a knife and you fight with several cops when they come to arrest you, you get what's coming to you. There was a time when people understood. And it's funny, Adam 12 is on TV. I just posted a thing where I was watching it, and it's great. It's wonderful to see when cops could be cops and they had discretion and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it was also great when they would point their guns at a guy with a gun and say, drop it. And the guy would drop it because he knew that maybe he would get one cop, but he was going to get smoked.
Sure.
And he didn't want to do that. We don't have that anymore. We don't have that at all. We have people willing to and emboldened to fight the police because either they know they can accuse them of excessive force and try to get a payday, right? Or they're going to push it and say, oh, the cops were brutal to me and I'm just a victim here, and then maybe get their charges reduced or dismissed. I mean, there's all kinds of – and if you think they don't think this stuff, you're fucking wrong, right? You mentioned a guy who said he, the only reason he gave up is because he saw in your eyes that you were. We had another cop go back to one of our early episodes. She said the only when she found the gun and she asked the guy why he didn't shoot her, he said because you were nice.
Yeah.
If you think that these people aren't human beings who have weird internal motivations that mm-hmm. you don't understand, think mm-hmm. again, because they are exactly that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so now we this whole he doesn't deserve to get shot in the back and paralyzed. Yeah, he fucking does.
Yeah,
that's bullshit.
Yeah,
if anybody tells you he shouldn't, no. What he should have done is say, okay, I have a warrant for my arrest. Call somebody to pick up my kids. I will go quietly and we'll figure this out. Mm-hmm. That's not what he did, right? Mm-mm. So we got to do our jobs. And if you don't think we got to do our jobs, then I don't know what fucking country you're living in.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I just posted a video on my Facebook. You know, I'll post it up on our Instagram as well. But it was a black gentleman. And, you know, here's the thing. I hate to bring so much race into this because I know that this is what it's all about, is this whole race thing. But you know what? That would have happened whether he was white, Hispanic, Asian. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Right. You know, there was a black police officer that was just killed a few days ago with multiple kids and a wife, and he was killed by a white man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's all the media attention?
Was that white guy racist for shooting a black cop just because a white person shot
and
a
I
black
bet you,
person?
Even if he was, I bet you he can have a fat swastika on his chest, and I bet you still wouldn't even get the media attention and all this other stuff.
Of course not.
You know. But anyways, what I was going along the lines of was, you know, I listened to this guy speak, and he was a black man, and he was a younger guy, and he was a ex-football player for one of the college. Big guy. Really, really big guy. Long story short, he ends up calling the police because one of his roommates is losing his mind, punching stuff, breaking stuff. And prior to this, they had gotten into a small little physical altercation, which caused his roommate to have a laceration on his forehead. So he calls the cops. Football player calls the cops. He speaks to the police. Hey, look, this is what happened. Da, da, da. They end up, I guess, for wherever state they live in, they end up saying, hey, look, someone's got to go to jail tonight, and it's going to be you. He's the one that called the cops.
Right.
Per his side of the story, really, it was all in self-defense. And you know what he did? He turned around. He let him put handcuffs behind his back, and he went to jail. And he ended up beating that case.
Right.
Because he really didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
And it wasn't necessarily a false arrest. There was no laws being broken.
No.
However, the officers had, you know, they went off what they had at the moment. They made an arrest, and he ended up beating the case. But guess what? He didn't get shot. He didn't get beat.
Nope.
And he said the officers were really respectful. And most of the time, that's how it goes.
Yes.
But again, no media attention for things like that.
I'll give you a couple of quick little short war stories that kind of give you an idea of what sometimes you face. And also for the people out there doing the job. And John, you can speak to the veterans too. When you're in a war zone, mm-hmm. right? How many times do you have to point a gun at somebody and go, don't do it? Like if this, and you're thinking, whether you can say it to him or not, because you're at a distance, you're thinking to yourself, okay, if this guy does X, I'm going to shoot him.
How many times you got to say it? Because when I was there,
it wasn't really say it. Right? Like you're looking at somebody down the sights if okay, so right now I'm good, but if he does X, Y, or Z, I'm going to shoot him.
Yeah. A daily basis.
Right. It's part of being in combat is making those momentary decisions of these are acceptable actions and these are unacceptable actions. If we fall into the unacceptable category, I'm going to shoot you. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Whether you're saying it to yourself or whether you're saying it to them. I'll give you one. My sergeant and I went out, you know, 11 o'clock at night, 11:30. And we weren't in, you know, also our town had a very low black population. You know, we had a black police chief when I joined the department, and the big joke when I got there, well, first of all, the big joke when I got there was, one of our canine coppers walking around the station going for shizzle, my nizzle. And I went, do you know what? I was off probation finally. And I'm all, do you know what that means? And he goes, that's just some cool, you know, gangster shit to say. I'm all, no, it means, you know, faux shit, my nigga. Yeah. And he goes, what? And I said, have you said that in front of the chief? And he goes, yeah. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, we used to joke that we had two black people in town, and one was the chief. That was it, right? Because we didn't have a huge black population. So none of what we did was racist. It was just, you just police the city you're given. Mm-hmm. Your city has a huge Hispanic population. Yeah. You police it because that's where you work.
Right.
Right. So this guy happened to be a white trash tweaker. And tweakers going to tweak. They're going to do some weird stuff. If you want, man. Anyway, comes out. The family calls. He's out of his mind, insane, and they want him to go to jail for picking fights with the family. And we could take him to jail for basically terrorist threats at that point, criminal threats. You know, threatening to hurt somebody. So we get there, and he has a baseball bat, right? And he's coming out of, he's on the front porch in the front yard with a baseball bat. And we show up and I point a gun at him. My sergeant points his gun at him. And we tell him, you know, drop the bat and get on the ground. Right? And then we're going to arrest him. And, you know, fuck you, blah, 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 this and that and the other thing. And finally, as I said, drop the gun, drop the bat, or, you know, or I'm going to shoot you. And he goes, then just fucking shoot me, kill me. And I looked at the sergeant with deadpan serious face. I looked at the sergeant and said, is that consent? And as soon as I said that and I looked back at the dude, he realized he had just asked me to shoot him. And he didn't know whether that meant,
oh shit, I was like I just gave him permission.
Like, and that alone, that getting inside his head and saying, is that consent, made him think, oh my God, I just gave him permission to shoot me. I don't want to get shot. And he dropped the bat and he was taken into custody. But that's how stupid people are. Another quick example, 21-year-old kid has his 17-year-old buddy over who gets shit-faced drunk and passes out so badly that nobody can wake him. It's alcohol poisoning time, and it's time for the ambulance to pick him up. I don't give a shit that his 17-year-old friend got drunk in his house. I give a shit that a 17-year-old kid is about to die of alcohol poisoning, though. And when this idiot stands there in the doorway and says, you can't take him. It's private property. I'm responsible for him. You can't take him. I said, he's unconscious. You're not his parent. And he's underage drinking alcohol in your house. We're taking him. And you're going to get the fuck out of the way or I'm going to arrest you for impeding these paramedics in doing their work. And he stood in the doorway and he refused to move. And I looked at the sergeant. Sergeant goes, fuck him. And so I pinned him to the ground and I put handcuffs on him. And as soon as I did that and he was being walked out to the car under arrest, I'm sorry, man.
Sorry.
You can take him. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Like, no, it's fine. I understand. Da, 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 da. You don't have to take me to jail. I'll comply. I'm like, no, we're past that point. We're past that point.
And it wouldn't have happened if he would have just
moved out of the fucking way.
That's it. So easy.
So this guy with the bat was going to get shot.
Right.
If he had charged at me with the bat or charged at my partner with the bat, or tried to go back into his house where he had threatened people with a bat, I'd have shot him. And guess what? If he'd have started walking back into his house, where would I have shot him? In the back.
Mm-hmm. Now, sadly, because of the climate today, well, they just released a video of body cam footage of a shooting that happened, I think, last week.
The Walmart one.
Yeah.
Bat.
A bat.
And this whole thing about, oh, they you know, they were giving up. No. That was a crazy person armed with a club.
Right.
And you're going to get shot.
Right.
Period.
And that officer, I really believe in my heart, will get acquitted.
I hope so.
But because of the political climate, charges filed against for manslaughter? What?
Yeah, I hope so.
He tried to de-escalate that situation over a period of time until he was charged with a bat.
Yep. So we've fallen down the rabbit hole and we've gone into crazy town. So you get all of this stuff is to say that the Jacob Blake shooting is, in my opinion and in John's opinion, completely justified.
Yeah.
He did everything that he shouldn't have done.
He did the complete opposite of everything.
Right. Right. Everything that you should do to survive a police altercation.
Opposite.
He decided to go the other way.
Right.
Interesting strategy.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to get shot and be paralyzed, then it worked.
Yeah.
So that's number one. It was completely and totally justified.
Right.
But there's a second point here. What about this girl that he sexually assaulted?
Mm-hmm.
When everybody is putting this guy's name up as a victim,
mm-hmm.
putting this guy's name on their fucking football helmets.
Yeah, but nobody cares
nobody
how she
cares.
Feels.
Do you realize every time this girl sees this guy's name being held up
glorified
as his hero or this martyr for a cause or this, she's like, wait a minute. He broke into my house and sexually assaulted me, and that's why they were arresting him. Does nobody give a shit about me?
I believe the silent majority cares about her.
Right.
But the people that want to go out there and just commit anarchy, they don't give a shit.
Right. So every time this poor fucking girl sees a picture of a football player with this fucking rapist, you know, name across their helmet, she's getting re-traumatized.
Yeah.
Every time.
It's sad.
Because the guy who lit, and I'm going to tell you right now, getting shot, like, if you're going to tell me my choice is to be sexually violated or get shot and survive, I may actually pick get shot and survive.
Yeah.
Number one, cooler story. And number two, it is probably way less traumatic.
Yeah, I would believe so.
Because getting shot, it's over and done with. You carry some...
Hey, where was the Me Too movement?
Yeah. Where's all the pink pussy hat people about Jacob Blake getting, you know... Where's all the girls saying, they goddamn right, put him down because he's a rapist?
Mm-hmm.
No. Crickets.
Yep.
Fucking crickets. So shame on you. If you're a woman and you support this movement to turn Jacob Blake into some sort of folk hero.
And they were, I guarantee they're the same ones with the hashtag Me Too movement. I guarantee it.
Guarantee it. All the women that were hashtag Me Too, they also changed their, and guys, they also changed their profile picture on social media to a black box in support of Black Lives Matter. And next thing you know, this guy who's a freaking wanted for sexual assault is legit being treated as a hero. So
it is a ass backwards world we're living in right now.
Right.
Well, so, United States of America.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. The rest of the world's looking at us going,
what the
hell is going on?
Yeah. Right?
And if you think this isn't being done on purpose, again, you're
go to another country and protest how we're protesting here.
Yeah.
Watch what happens.
Mm-hmm. There's an interesting discussion we're going to have. I've got the email, but it's on a future episode. It's about the deliberateness of the separation of police and the minority communities by race. Like that it seems like there's an agenda to deliberately drive a wedge between these minority communities and the police.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be working. And it's
working.
It's, you know, I mean, it goes back to, he writes in his email, it goes back to Obama and the Harvard professor Gates and the cop that was going to arrest him because he couldn't tell. Come on, really? So anyway, we're going to talk about that on another episode. But this episode, as we get into it, the Kenosha stuff leads to more rioting, looting, and arson.
Mm-hmm.
The rioting, looting, and arson leads to people trying to defend their communities from...
Which they have a right to do.
Right. Rioters, looters, and arsonists. Here's the deal. The Constitution doesn't say you have to have cops to defend your
right
life, liberty, right, and the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't say that the only people that can protect your business and your property are police
officers.
No,
you as the individual can do that.
You have the absolute right, and cops are there to, you know, I mean, let's face it, a lot of times we're there to clean up. Mm-hmm. We're there after the crime.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you want to stop it, you want to prevent it, you got to be an active participant
right
in your own defense. So now you've got businesses in Kenosha, Wisconsin that are terrified of being burnt to the ground, looted, stolen from, painted. I mean, all these terrible things. People just walking in and just breaking
their livelihood.
Yeah.
The only thing that these people have.
Right.
Only source of income.
Right.
Burning it to the ground.
And it's in the communities of the people that are rioting and looting. And they're trashing all of their own resources.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's going to lead us into part two, where we're going to get into, we'll talk a little bit about it as we're closing this part one. But Kyle Rittenhouse is being held up as, by some people, a patriot, protecting property and businesses and community members from lawlessness. And let's just, that's what it is,
mm-hmm,
right? It's utter lawlessness. And due to political pressures, the police departments have been basically ordered to stand down. Like, practically nationwide. If your police department gets in trouble for shooting somebody they shouldn't have shot, guarantee when the riots hit, you're going to be ordered to stand down right now. That's what's happening. Which, as we've discussed, if you're supposed to protect your own community when the police can't, guess what? Now you have to protect your own community and you want to defund the police. Well, that's what that looks like. Kyle Rittenhouse standing in front of a business at 17 years old with an AR-15 is what defunding the police looks like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I've heard people say, and we'll get, I guess maybe we should explain. Everybody knows at this point, I think, that Kyle Rittenhouse is this 17-year-old kid who was protecting a business and straight fucking John Wicked three dudes. 17-year-old kid just...
That easily, I think, is arguable that they tried to kill him.
Oh,
easily.
Yeah, yeah. Easily arguable. And we'll fully discuss how that works. We have, we actually do have a guest this episode. If you hear little teeny tiny feet running around or a giggle or two. There it is. John's daughter's in the room. She's cuter than a box of baby ducks, let me just tell you. As another thing, you got to protect your community. And that includes kids like that.
Yeah. No, it's preserving property and life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So Kyle Rittenhouse goes out to, he's part of a group on social media that is organizing to defend communities when riots and protests and lawlessness show up. I was part of a group, you know, that was doing the exact same thing. You were part of a group that was doing the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. When I was off, you know, I'm retired. It was a bunch of retired cops and vets going down to some businesses because we knew the protesters were coming. And we handled business, and that was the end of it. Well, I mean, I don't know what else you can do when the cops are being told to stand down.
There's what else? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm waiting for somebody to say, okay, you want to defund the police, but you don't want the Kyle Rittenhouses of the world to protect their community. So what you're saying is the American people should bend over and take it in the ass whenever some group of people gets pissed off and thinks that they're being unjustly targeted, when in fact they need to look at the dude, Jacob Blake, and go, no, that motherfucker, he got what was coming to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you fucking kidding me?
You know, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get too much into the other, to the Rittenhouse thing, because again, that'll be on the next episode. But, you know, I made a comment. We were having a family discussion the other day. And for people that don't know, I have a lot of black family members.
Yeah, and your brother-in-law's black. Yeah. Your niece is half black.
Right. And again, I don't like to bring race into this, but, you know.
Because you're normal and you know it's not about race.
It's not. But, you know, we had a really, really nice discussion over hours. And I would even say that my brother-in-law's father is more, I would say he's on the fence, but I would say he's even more left, for sure. And he brought up a lot of good, valid
points. Like center left?
Yeah, center left. But you know what? That man has also seen real racism.
Right.
That man has lived real racism. So I completely understand where he's coming from.
Right.
Let's
also be clear. Real racists are pieces of shit.
Right. And even with seeing the things that he has seen and has been through himself with his own experiences with real racism, he still doesn't he's even a man to be like, well, these are the facts presented in front of me about Jacob Blake, and yeah, I don't see what other option do they have.
Right.
So if you have a man like that can look at this logically, why can't anybody else?
Well, it's because it's not about facts.
It's not about facts. And again, I'll say this again, and I bring it up on a lot of episodes that we talk about this. It's about total control from the elite.
100%.
So
there's a small group of people, and turns out they all go to camp together every year in California, that seem to want to decide what we all think and what the narrative is and mm-hmm. what we're all supposed to believe. Right now, we're all supposed to believe that when cops shoot a black person, it's because of it's racism.
It's racist.
Systemic racism. First of all, I have yet to have anybody explain to me how, when the laws are codified to be equal, right? Mm-hmm. When we've actually like the Civil Rights Act and you know, the Bill of Rights, and we've changed laws to weed out systemic racism. So the system itself is supposed to be blind. I have yet to have anybody explain to me how systemic racism is that much of a thing. I have yet to hear the explanation for how a system is racist. So,
yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, okay, we don't want people to believe that we don't believe racism doesn't exist.
Right.
It exists.
Does. Absolutely.
It does. Exists.
I've seen it right now. I'm seeing it, more racism and bigotry coming out of people that think, well, white cops are just, white people in general are raised to kill black people. Are you serious? That is the most racist piece of shit statement ever.
Mm-hmm.
To say, like, the idea of you saying to fight racism, you have to call white people racists is insane. It's bananas.
Yeah.
So, anyway, as we close up part one, part two, we're going to talk about Kyle. We're going to talk about the incident that he was involved in, whether that was justified. And then we're going to talk about the two biggest groups that are causing these problems right now, which is not the statement Black Lives Matter, because if somebody says to me, hey, do Black Lives Matter? My answer is yes, of course they do. It's the easiest thing in the world to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that every one of us is a life that matters. Every single person created is a life that matters.
I agree.
The organization Black Lives Matter, the actual group, are a bunch of racist, Marxist pieces of shit.
Which, by the way, if you go to the BLM website and then donate, guess what all the advertising and funds are going to?
Oh, yeah.
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 The Democratic
Party. So we're going to get into that. For now, I think we can close part one and say, come back next week and we'll talk more about Kyle Rittenhouse. And
one more fact. Sorry. Oh, this is what I was looking for. I just knew it was outrageous. But one more fact. So talking about real quick about the whole defunding of the police and holding police officers back.
Yeah, go.
The city of Los Angeles, homicides are up 250%.
Yep.
250%.
Yep.
250%. In just the city of Los Angeles, because they were being held back from doing their jobs.
Do you know how many officers? You know how many officers have been injured in like the Portland area?
I don't even want to know.
There's like 200.
Yeah, it's something stupid. It's something dumb.
They've got officers being blinded with industrial strength lasers.
That's fucking insane. Oh, I saw a video of the choppers and all the lasers being pointed up at the choppers.
But yeah. We're not talking about like the laser pointer that you used to play with your cat. No. We're talking about a laser pointer that when you point it at a matchstick.
It'll light it on fire.
Yeah. It'll ignite a matchstick. They will burn things. Yeah. You're talking the laser pointer that will do like laser etching on metal, and you're pointing that in somebody's eye.
Wow.
Yeah.
Until next week.
On that happy note, like, subscribe, you know, rate, review. We're getting a lot of people that are just finding us and binging it like we read.
Yeah. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up. I mean, mainly on Instagram. We get most of our messages on Instagram.
Yeah.
Tell us. You know, you can leave.
And I'm really bad at it sometimes because the messages come through like three different ways, and so I think I answered you, and then
we didn't,
or I answer you, and then I don't realize I answered you, and then I'm like, hey, did you get an answer to your question? So, you know, it's just the two of us trying to run things around here.
Yeah.
When we have a staff, maybe we'll be able to fire people, but we can't fire each other.
Hey, so we're taking open applications for staff.
Yeah, unpaid internship.
Yeah.
Do you have a blue dress is my only question. So the hats are almost done. The patches will be available, or go on the website. The shirts are available, but also if you can go on, we are, I think at a 4.9 on out of five on iTunes.
And I think the only reason there was the 4.9 is because a lot of people gave us 4 stars instead of 5 because they were having issues with the audio quality early on, which we completely understand because we just kind of jumped into this and not really expecting it to go anywhere specific.
And we had an audio engineer come in and give us some advice and all that kind of stuff. So
we fixed it.
We get it. But if you can, you know, all the rating, reviewing, subscribe, all that stuff helps. The YouTube channel, we can't monetize it because we use this song in the intro on YouTube that, has a copyright claim, but we like it so much. We're not going to change it. So, support us by, you know, buying a shirt or becoming a patron. And we appreciate it. On behalf of John and myself, for this episode, we will be back with you for part 2. And until the next episode, come home with your shield or honor.